He was the son of a well-to-do landholder who owned hundreds and thousands of cows. And according to Vedic economics, one is considered to be a rich man by the strength of his store of grains and cows. With only these two things, cows and grain, humanity can solve its eating problem. Human society needs only sufficient grain and sufficient cows to solve its economic problems. All other things but these two are artificial necessities created by a man to kill his valuable life at the human level and waste his time in things which are not needed. Lord Krishna is the teacher of human society, personally showed by his acts that a mercantile community or the Vaishya should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to the valuable animals. According to the Smriti regulation, the cow is the mother and the bull the father of the human being. The cow is the mother because just as one sucks the breast of one's mother, human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father of human society because the father earns for the children just as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. As it is mentioned herein that the beautiful cows and the bulls were of various checkered colors, red, black, green, yellow, ash, etc. And because of their colors and healthy smiling features, the atmosphere was enlivening. Om Ajnana Timirandas. So this explains Krishna entering a new age. Srila Rupa Goswami explains there are three ages of Krishna. One is Kaumara, from the age of 1 to 5, and then he comes to the age of Pauganda, which is also called as Purva Rag. And from the age of 11 to 16, Kaishora, and Krishna never grows beyond 16. So when Krishna reached the age 6, Mother Yashoda, this is just before killing Dhenukasur, along with Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's birthday is considered as Nandotsav. So when Krishna reached the age of 6, Nanda Maharaj decided, because this is a special entrance of Krishna's age, he decided to have a very elaborate celebration on Krishna's birthday. When Krishna appeared in Mathura, in the presence of Kamsa, he appeared along with his four hands. And when Devaki saw that form, she was more fearful than the form of the ordinary child. Krishna exhibited that form to give assurance to her that you don't have to worry about Kamsa, because I am not an ordinary child. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because Mother Devaki was acting as a mother, she was thinking from a different angle. So she was thinking, if anyone comes to know that I have given birth to a child who has got four hands, everybody will laugh at me. All loka, all the world, vidamman hitat, that everybody will laugh at me. So therefore, my dear child, or my dear Lord, please change yourself to an ordinary form. And hearing the prayers of Mother Devaki, Krishna immediately transformed, and before only had already ordered what to do with him. Immediately Krishna changed into ordinary form, and since then he never changed. He kept that form on the order of his mother, and only once or twice during Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahma had to analyze and understand that whatever this Vishnu form I am seeing is none other than the form of this child. Even after meeting Krishna, when he came to beg his forgiveness, Krishna standing, holding a flute in his hand, there was dahi rice, and he was standing like an ordinary child. Even after Brahma offered him so many prayers, Krishna did not even open his mouth. As if, you know, who are you? You have a four-handed. So did not give any importance to Brahma's prayers. So herein we see that when Krishna reached age 6, Nanda Maharaj decided to celebrate elaborate festival of Krishna Janma. Because Rupa Goswami explains, Purva Rag is also considered as Krishna changes his form or his bodily features are changed. He accepts the mood of a Dhira Lalit. A Dhira Lalit personality has the character of being youthful hero and always in a joking mood and free from all kinds of anxiety. He is a fun lover and at the same time he attracts all devotees, saksharas, vatsalaras, and particularly this is the age where Krishna starts or the gopis start developing attraction for Krishna in the Madhurya Ras. So therefore it is called as Purva Rag. And Shastras explain, the Acharyas explain, at this age of Krishna, Krishna has chubby cheeks and very beautiful face, just like there is one creeper called Shama creeper. And this creeper bears different kind of a fruit. Even though it is not ripe, without being ripe also this fruit is very tasty and sweet. So similarly Krishna, even though is not fully grown, what does he do? He becomes the object of everybody's attraction. Everybody becomes very attracted to Krishna. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj decided this celebration and Yashoda Mata organized the celebration. She called upon all the Brahmanas. All the Brahmanas came and they sat Krishna on the golden throne. And after Krishna sitting on a golden throne, all the Brahmanas, very high class Brahmanas, they bathed Krishna with thousands of liters of water, sainted water. When the Brahmanas were bathing Krishna with sainted water, they were also chanting a beautiful mantras, which was reverberating in Vrindavan. And after Krishna's bath by the Brahmanas, immediately, you know, they took nice linen cloth, they dried Krishna's body. After drying Krishna's body, it is explained, they gave him nice clothes, silken yellow dhoti, shawl, and they fixed his all kinds of ornaments, and specially they took yellow thread which is dipped in turmeric powder and they tied to Krishna's wrist along with durva grass, and it looks very beautiful. It's a natural ornament, not artificial jewels. All these natural herbs then they put to Krishna's body. He was looking very beautiful, and they showered unlimited flowers on Krishna's head. We see that in all the Krishna's pastime, whenever he kills the demon or he performs some special act of victory, immediately all the demigods shower flowers. In the Smarta scriptures, according to different seasons, you have to offer something to the demigods. And especially in the winter season, we are experiencing winter even though it is summer. During the winter season, Krishna is offered unlimited flowers, just like we celebrate Pushya Abhishek. So this is a Pushya Nakshatra. In this Pushya Nakshatra it is said that when you offer gold items, when you offer gold items to the high class Brahmanas, then you go to the loka of illuminating planets, where the planets are very illuminating. But with Krishna, if you offer flowers, you go to Golok Vrindavan. And flowers are quite, you know, non-expensive. Gold is very expensive. Just little flower can take you to Golok Vrindavan. So why go to the illuminating planet, which ultimately get destroyed during the time of Pralaya. So these are the natural ornaments of Vrindavan. Yellow turmeric, durva grass, and forest flowers. So Krishna was decorated like that. And then, during the festival when Krishna was being decorated, it is explained all the Brijbasis, especially the elderly Brijbasis, were singing nice, beautiful, traditional Braja songs. And then, Yashodarani invited all the covered women, all the special women of Vrindavan, and they came and she organized huge feast for all the Brijbasis. Nanda Maharaj invited Nanda, Upananda and their wives, and Rohini Mata, she organized the feast. She became the cook and she was cooking unlimited feast, and Krishna was sitting joyfully, as that is the description of his character of this age. Without any hesitation, he was sitting on the throne, accepting the arati. And different covered men, covered women were coming and offering different kinds of gifts to Krishna. The covered boys would come and offer something to Krishna. And the young gopis of Vrindavan, because the culture of the Vedas is that one cannot, there was no pre-mixing. But because it was a purva rag, they were giving their gifts in the form of glances. This is how the acharya has explained, and we will not discuss further because neither I am qualified to speak. I don't know about you, but at least I am not qualified to speak. But this is a very long description about how Krishna, purva rag means it is mostly related to madhurya ras. So then all the gopas and gopis were sad in the courtyard, and Nanda Maharaj, with the help of the wives of Upananda and Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini, they fed all the Brijbasis, nice feast, and all of them they enjoyed the feast, and Krishna got up from the throne, and immediately he came to the forest of Vrindavan along with his friends. And it is explained, when he came to the forest of Vrindavan, they were enjoying like anything. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained, this age of Krishna, Krishna's lotus soul, footprints, he has got 21 prints on his soul. And the age from 1st to 5, this special auspicious signs were not visible because of Krishna's age. Now he became 6 years old, all of these marks became so prominent, and then whenever Krishna would step on the soft dust of Vrindavan, those marks would imprint very strongly, and everyone could see those marks and feel the presence of Krishna. And Srila Kavi Karanapur explains, just like when the lotus flower or any flower, when they blossom, the flower bud opens into a petal, then they are surrounded by honey, and because the honey is there, the humming bees come there. So similarly, Krishna, he was opening up, his body was becoming very beautiful, and because of that, the quality of beauty, sweetness, softness, and there was a special fragrance of his body was developing. And because of this, all the bees of Vrindavan, as they are attracted to the lotus flower and get intoxicated, simply by the touch of Krishna's body, they were completely mad. This is how the descriptions are given. And in Vrindavan, when Krishna would go along with his covered friends, they would play different kinds of sports. They would take this flower of Kunda, all the cluster, many, many flowers, and they would convert that into a ball. And those would appear like a sesame seeds ball. And it is explained, they would take those balls and throw at each other. And their aim was never missing. They would hit other coward friends. And those flowers were very soft, and they were enjoying that throwing of ball which was made of flowers on each other. And then Krishna, he would throw the flower ball in the sky, so high, and then when he would raise his head high, the turban would little, you know, become cross. And he would see that the turban is going to fall, he would hold the turban from his left hand, and because of the illumination of the sun, he would squint his eye. And perfectly from his right hand he would catch the ball. He would never, you know, lose the catch. He would not drop the catch. He would catch it properly, and every time he would throw like that and catch the ball. And all other coward friends would imitate Krishna, and they would do perfectly the same way. And at this time, when Krishna became 6 years old, Nanda Maharaj decided, now Krishna has already trained how to take care of the calves. Now let him start taking care of the cows. And this festival took place during the month of Kartik. On the sixth day of bright moonlight, Krishna was given the charge of taking care of the cows. And that festival of giving charge of taking care of cows to Krishna is considered as Gopashtami. Everything with Krishna is celebrated. It is not a burden. You know, when the responsibility is given to a son, you know, there is a big burden. First of all, sometimes the parents don't want to give the responsibility, thinking that he is not matured. Or even if they give thinking that he is matured, the son thinks that I am not matured, I still have to play. So from both the sides, there is no happiness. It is not celebrated. It is the cause of anxiety. With Krishna it is not like that. Even though Krishna is accepting the responsibility of taking care of the cows, 9 lakh cows, that day is still celebrated every day year in Vrindavan in the form of Gopashtami. And then Krishna, taking all of his cows, he entered into Vrindavan. Now he started going into the deep forest. When he was raising the cows, calves, he would go not so deep, but with the cows, he started going into the deep forest. And Srila Prabhupada explains that along with grazing the cows, Krishna would play upon his flute. And in the forest, whenever the cows would wander here and there, Krishna would call with the rumbling voice. The different names of the cows, and Kavi Karanapur explains different names. He would say, hey Dhavalike, hey Chandini, hey Nandini, hey Mukte, hey Induleke, hey Indutilake, Kasturi, Karpurike, Pinge, Rangini, Dhumale, Kinjalike, Shame, Ketuki, Chandrike, Kashmirike, and Champake. These are few names of Krishna's cows. And simply by hearing the name, the cows immediately would come back, and Krishna would knew perfectly. You can imagine 9 lakh cows, and Krishna knew each of the cow's name without any difficulty. And they were of different colors. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami starts to explain just before he killed Dhenukasur. Lord Krishna entered into the forest. Tan madhava venum udariyam mrito gopair grinaddi swayasho balanvitaha pashun purushkritya pashadam avishad viharto kama kusumakaram. That Tan madhava, Krishna, entered into the forest of Vrindavan along with his covered friends, and he had a flute. He entered into such a forest where there were unlimited flowers. so many nice grass. And Sanatan Goswami explains why this word Madhava is used for Krishna. Because Krishna is the husband of goddess of fortune. And secondly, Krishna comes from the dynasty of the Madhu. And then spring season is also known as Madhu. And whenever Krishna enters into the forest of Vrindavan, whichever season it is, it becomes Madhu season. Therefore, is addressed as Madhu. And then, because this is the age of Purva Rag, Krishna is 6 years old, and therefore is a very expert in enjoying Madhurya Ras. Therefore, is also called as Madhava. These are the reasons Sanatana Goswami gives. And then when Krishna came to Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada explains that by seeing beautiful trees which were laden with fruits, beautiful grass, Jamuna is flowing, and the inhabitants were giving so much of satisfaction to Krishna, by seeing them, Krishna developed natural desire to glorify them. Just even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is the devotee of His devotee. In Krishna Bhakti, there is no servant and master. The master also becomes the servant, and the servant also becomes the master. There is a competition. One time Giriraj Maharaj was saying, because Srila Prabhupada tried to glorify Krishna, and Krishna wanted to glorify Prabhupada. He said, this competition goes on eternally. The Mayavadis only want to become God. But here, God wants to become the servant. Just imagine, He considers that position to be greater. So by seeing Vrindavan and Vrindavan residents, all the trees, creepers and flowers, Krishna decided to glorify all these fruit trees, all the beautiful green grass of Vrindavan. And to glorify all of this, Krishna made Balaram His object. He started glorifying Balaram. He said, my dear Balaram, just see how all these trees are bending down to offer your respects. All the bees, they are singing your glories. And the cuckoos, they are chanting beautiful mantras. And in this way, they are trying to glorify you. And then Krishna explained that, my dear Balaram, your glories are so amazing that you are anagha. Anagha means, Srila Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that anagha means Krishna never performs any sinful activities. So that is one reason Krishna is glorifying Balaram, saying that you are anagha. Anagha means you can never do any mistakes. You can never do any sinful activities. And second reason why Krishna is called as anagha, it is explained that because even if a devotee sometimes makes certain mistakes, Krishna does not take them very seriously. Therefore, it is called as anagha. That even sometime a devotee can make a mistake. We say that the mundane moralists, when they see, they're only concerned about doing good things. I will never do any mistakes. I'll never perform any activities which is sinful. But devotional service is beyond this. And therefore Krishna, even though sometime it may happen because of the conditioned nature of the conditioned soul, that he may perform certain mistakes, but Krishna does not hold against the devotee. Krishna, the laws are there to punish the living entity, but the love is there to attract the living entity towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anagha means Krishna, even though sometimes a devotee can make a mistake, he forgives such a devotee. But in this case, in this specific case, because all the bees were, going around Balaram, It appeared that they were causing disturbance. But Krishna is saying, no, you don't think that to be a disturbance. You are actually welcoming them. Let them come, because the fragrance of the body of the Lord, naturally the bees were coming. And they were humming, they were making a sound. And that was not the disturbance for the Lord. Therefore that is called as anagam. And then Krishna, along with his covered friends, they would perform so many activities. And Krishna again started glorifying Balaram. He said, my dear Balaram, just see by the tip of your fingernails, you are purifying the trees of Vrindavan. And by the touch of your lotus feet, you are purifying the grass and earth. And what about the mountains and rivers? The mountains and rivers are purified simply because you are glancing at them. That is how everyone is getting purified, by your touch, by your glance, and by your feet. This is how Krishna glorifies Brajvasis, making Krishna as his object. And then all the covered friends would play around, they would wrestle. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, whenever there was a wrestling match, it was quite natural that Krishna would lose. Sri Rama would easily defeat him. And then they would wrestle, and because of the wrestling match, sometimes they would be tired. And then again, sometimes Krishna would imitate. He was very good at imitating. It is explained by Srila Prabhupada, he would imitate the chattering of the parrot. And then he would exactly imitate the sweet singing of the cuckoos. And then cooing of the swans. And then he would dance very beautifully like a peacock. And Krishna would tell his coward friends, just see, this peacock, they cannot dance properly. Now I will show how to dance. And then Krishna would start dancing very vigorously like peacock. And by seeing that, all the coward boys would clap, saying that, very good, you have done better dance than the peacock. And then it is explained that sometime Krishna and the coward friends, they would imitate the chirping of the birds, different kinds of the birds. And then whenever they would see that smaller animals would run away for the fear of the, you know, roaring of the lions and tigers. Along with the small animals, Krishna and Balaram will also run, thinking that they are also very fearful. And then when Krishna would be tired of doing all of these things, Balaram would be tired, and Balaram would lay down on the lap of his coward friends, and Krishna would come and start massaging him. And when Krishna would be tired, the coward friends would create nice bed which is made of twigs and creepers of Vrindavan. Everything was natural. And they would lay him down and massage him nicely. And some coward boys would take some big leaves and they would fan Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, those more talented boys would dance and sing for Krishna's pleasure. And Rupa Goswami explains, and some coward boys would, more frank and jokeful, they would wake up Krishna and they say, Krishna, we have got some special sweets for you. Open your mouth. And while lying down, again, the Vaidic Shastra say one should not eat while lying down. But with Krishna, all these principles do not work. So Krishna would be lying down, and then the coward boy would say, okay, I've got some special fruit for you. Open your mouth. And they would take some flowers and put in the mouth of Krishna. And then Krishna would bite it immediately, because the flower may be fragrant, but they are not sweet. And Krishna's face would be, you know, if somebody eats the bitter item, Karela Sabji, immediately you can see his face becomes, you know, he becomes very disturbed. And all the coward boys would laugh, seeing Krishna's face, that Krishna is not enjoying. And seeing the fun of coward boys, then Krishna would also enjoy. And in this way they would spend their time. And one day, Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains, all the coward boys headed by Sridhama Nama Gopalo, Rama Keshavo Sakha, Subala Soka Krishnadya Gopa Premnedam Abruvam. They called upon Krishna, Stoka Krishna, Sudama, Sridama, and very lovingly spoke to Krishna. And the acharyas explained, lovingly spoken means there was no personal motivation. If there is a personal motivation, then you cannot speak to anyone lovingly. You can act, but you cannot speak lovingly. But because here there was no personal motivation, there was affection, so therefore they lovingly spoke, indicating what Krishna should do next as a pleasurable pastime. And they said, Rama Rama Mahabaho, Krishna Dushta Nebrahan. Ito Viduresu Mahat Vanam Tatali Sankulam. They said, my dear Rama Rama, O Balaram and Krishna, very close to this place, there is a beautiful forest of Talavan, the Tala fruit. And it is so beautiful and wonderful that you should take us to that forest. And it is explained that Talavan forest lies between Govardhan Hill and Mathura. And Harivam says that this Talavan forest was very smooth, the dust was very smooth, and the soil was very blackish. So therefore the trees were very, very tall, and the fruits, the Tala fruits, were orange in color. And it is explained that they are so tall, they are almost touching the sky, competing with the clouds in the sky. So high the trees were, because the soil was very fertile. And the covered vines told Krishna, my dear Lord, in this forest there are unlimited fruit trees, and all the ripened fruits are falling down. But we cannot go there. Why we cannot go there? Because there is a demon, and his name is Venukasur. And this demon, Venukasur demon, he is unjustly controlling this whole forest. Even though it does not belong to him. Srila Prabhupada said, whenever you go to the forest, there is plenty of fruits. But unfortunately, in this age of Kali, it is the mentality of people that they will put all kinds of trees which do not bear fruits or flowers. Why? Their conception is that if there are flower and fruit trees, people will steal it. But let them steal. What they will do by stealing, they will eat. What is the use of planting trees and trees and creepers which do not give any fruits and flowers? Just so that others should not eat, not to plant, it is the mentality of Venukasura. Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this has a very peculiar quality. What is their quality? Their quality is that, you know, especially this Venukasura would not eat any fruits. He would not eat any tala fruit, but would allow them to fall from the ground and they would rot in the ground. That is ash mentality. So therefore, they are saying that he is controlling, he is not allowing anyone to eat that fruits. Even the birds cannot fly there. So my dear Lord Krishna, if you think it is a good proposal, let us go to that forest. Because we are very hungry and we want to eat these fruits. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the cowherd boys were, you know, trying to entice Krishna to fight. They were saying, okay, you are so great, why not fight this demon, Venukasur? And even if you kill this Venukasur demon, our sakyaras will not be disturbed. It is not that we will praise you, offer you obeisances. Simply when we see you fighting that Venuka demon, who is in the form of the ass, our sakya bhava will simply increase. Because as a sakyaras, you are exhibiting, within that sakyaras there is viraras. So don't worry, our mood will not change. Our friendship will simply increase with you. So when Krishna and Balaram heard this, it is explained that they simply laughed. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained, why did Krishna laugh? Because Krishna and Balaram were thinking, ass stronger? How can ass be a strong demon? How is it possible that ash can be much stronger than us? It cannot be possible. We can easily defeat him. So therefore the both brothers started laughing. And just to please their coward friends, without any hesitation, Balaram first entered into that Talavan forest. And Balaram is so great, and without any difficulty, just like a mad elephant shakes the trees, he started shaking these Tala trees. And when he started shaking these trees, it is also explained in the Kavi Karanapur's Krishna, what is that? Anand Vrindavan Champu, that when Balaram was shaking the trees, because the coward boys are from Braj, many coward boys, they took the small stones and sticks and they started throwing stones at the tree. Now because they have complete confidence, nothing will happen to us. So they are aiming at the fruits. But without their endeavor, because Balaram was shaking, unlimited fruits started falling down. And meanwhile, seeing that somebody has entered into the forest, this ash demon, he came looking for the intruder. When he saw that this strong person is shaking the trees, he became very angry. And with the hooves of his hind legs, he smashed Balaram on his chest. Very hardly hit on the chest of Balaram. But Balaram continued to shake the tree. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, after kicking Lord Balaram, he went around, that Dhenukasura went around, you know, praying very loudly, in a very horrible sound, and again he started coming, running towards Balaram. Even though this demon was so big and huge, in fact he was a man-eater demon. Nice fruits were there, but he would eat men. This is the civilization. You know, we see that sometimes people glorify the Western civilization, thinking that just they are so prosperous and rich. But Bhavananda Prabhu was saying, you know, just see our civilization. He said when he became 23 years old, that was the time he ate first mango in his life. In India, even any small village boy, at least 3-4 mangoes every day eats, without any problem. I remember one devotee, he came, and he said, first time in his life, he drank coconut water. But before that, you know, he said, I drank so much of wine. No, he was, and Satchinandan Maharaj says, what does it taste like? It tastes like the mixture of horse and ash urine. And to drink that, people pay unlimited money, thousands of rupees. And coconut water is easily available. So we see that with Dhenukasura demon, even though there are unlimited nice fruits, he was not attracted by that. Why? Because the mentality was very low. And he was eating man. He was eating human flesh. So when Dhenukasura came, trying to hit Balaram, all the coward boys developed such a confidence that we can fight this demon. So different coward friends of Krishna, Sudama took a stick and he started striking that Dhenukasura demon. And Subal with his fist, he started striking on the face of that Dhenukasura demon. And then Stoka Krishna took a rope, and with the rope he started hitting that demon. And Varutapa simply by his, you know, started slapping that Dhenukasura demon. So all the coward boys, you know, it was like a, you know, wholesale smashing of Dhenukasura demon. And Garga Samhita also explains, before Balaram threw that demon into this Tala tree, Krishna one time, he whirled him around and he threw him. But that time he did not die. He again came running towards Balaram, very forcefully. And again with his hind legs, he hit Balaram. Again Balaram was not disturbed. Sukhdeva Goswami explained what disturbance this demon can create. Because Lord Balaram is carrying unlimited universes. What is this Dhenukasura demon? So Balaram stopped shaking the trees and he captured this demon with his one hand. And very beautifully he captured that demon and started wheeling him around. Prabhupada writes, he started wheeling him around, So fast he was willing, simply because of the vacuum. When you are wheeled so fast, what happens? You lose your life. So Dhenukasura already left his life. And Balaram very easily threw that Dhenukasura demon on the top of one tallest tala tree. And when he did like that, all the coward boys became very happy. And when Dhenukasura fell on one tree, because of the strength of his body, the tree started shaking very badly. And after the tree started shaking, after some time the tree broke down. And it fell on another tree. And again, in like this, just like children play cards. You keep cards and you drop one card, all the cards in line fall down. So similarly, so many trees started falling down. Then Sukadeva Goswami explained that other demons, that is the mentality of demons. When they see that our greatest powerful person has fallen, they don't realize that what is our position. They don't consider like that. They try to, you know, fight, thinking that, you know, I will fight for my master. Just like Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, when Duryodhana was introducing his army to Dronacharya, he said, my dear master, all of these warriors, madarte tekto jivitam. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Prabhupada writes in the purport, madarte tekto jivitam means Duryodhana is saying they are going to die for me. That means they can't fight, they are going to die. Their fate is already sealed. So similarly, all these demons attacked and they left Balaram and they tried to chase Krishna. In fact, the Acharya says when all the demons attacked, just as a natural affection for his brother, Krishna came in the middle of Balaram and his demons, saying that you fight me. Or another way can be taken that Balaram as the elder brother came close to Krishna. Both ways it is right. So Krishna came in the middle and both brothers would capture one demons. That was a big exhibition of their power, and wheel the demons and throw in the sky on the top of the trees. And just because they were wheeling them, you know, they're vomiting blood, and when they would strike on the tree, their body would be crushed and the blood was flowing. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, it was just like there was a reddish cloud. And the demons were looking black. It was a black cloud with a tinge of reddish, just like the setting of the sun. It was looking very beautiful. And Prabhupada writes, it was like a panoramic scene. That means all the sky was covered with this scene, which was looking very beautiful. When all the demons were killed, all the trees were fallen, it became like a plain ground, and there were thousands of fruits. But all the coward boys along with Krishna and Balaram, they walked out of the forest without tasting even one fruit. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why they did not eat the fruit, because the fruits were contaminated by the blood of Dhenukasura. So was it there? Attempt was unsuccessful, they went to eat fruits, but they end up eating no fruits. He says, no. They went inside the forest, simply by the fragrance of that fruit, they were completely satisfied. Again, in devotional services, eat or you smell, there is no difference. But because we are not on that level, Krishna allows us to actually eat it. Not stop only smelling it, but actually you can eat also. But with Krishna and Krishna's friends, it is explained that simply smelling those fruits they are completely satisfied. And they allowed the aborigines, the pulindas, because they are aborigines, they don't have the concept of clean and unclean. They collected all those fruits and they enjoyed those fruits. And then it is explained that when Krishna and Balaram were doing this, again the demigods, they did their regular business of showering flowers on Krishna and Balaram. And all the men of Vrindavan, they became free from fear. And then all the cows would come to graze in the land of Vrindavan. So in this way, Dhenukasura was killed. And what does Dhenukasura represent? And why was he killed by Balaram, not by Krishna? And this was the first time Lord Balaram he killed a demon. And Srila Prabhupada explained, no, it is explained that Dhenukasura was a demon. Dhenukasura was the son, he was the son of Bali Maharaj, who was related to Prahlad. And his name was Sahasrika. And the Sahasrika king was always in the mood of enjoyment. And one day he went into the Gandhamadan Parvat along with 10,000 women, and he was making big noise, big sound. Big music was being played, and they were dancing and jumping. And because it was a forest, and that was disturbing the natural atmosphere of the forest, just like when we went up to Charan Pahadi, there was one sadhu. Because most of the children, we were not singing or doing kirtan, the boys were talking, so the sadhu became very angry. He said, if you don't keep quiet, I'll throw stones at you. It was threatening. Of course, at the end, he ended up giving, you know, what is that? Mystery sugar candy. Different kind of stone. So, similarly, when Durvasamuni, again, Durvasamuni is involved there. Durvasamuni, seeing that this person is doing so much of disturbance, he came to this Sahasrika, he said, you foolish demon, that you are acting like an ass. You are not concerned about anything, therefore I curse you that you become an ass demon. And then the Sahasrika started begging, my dear Durvasamuni, please forgive me. So Durvasamuni said, okay, you will be forgiven. And Lord Krishna appears. And then you will be killed by his elder brother Balaram. Why you will not be killed by Krishna? Because when Prahlad Maharaj became Krishna's devotee, he was devotee all the time. The promise was given to that family that I will never kill any of your family members. You will never be killed by me. Therefore, we see in Krishna Lila when Banasur, he was also part of Krishna's family, Prahlad's family. But Krishna did not kill him, he only taught him a lesson. Just by becoming a devotee of the Lord, even if other family members becomes a demon, just because the Lord has given promise, even they act demonically, they are not killed by the Lord. So Balaram killed this demon. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, what do we learn from this Dhenukasura chapter? This Dhenukasura represents the lack of discrimination on the part of a devotee, or lack of discrimination on the part of practicing spiritualist. And this anartha involves one's own endeavor. There are certain anarthas which we cannot overcome. And there are certain anarthas which Krishna had to see that there is an endeavor from our side. If that endeavor is not seen by the Lord, the help will not come. The simple story is there, that when Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita purport, when the sparrow lost her eggs and she went to the god of ocean, she said, my dear ocean god, you give me my eggs back. And the ocean god was ridiculing the sparrow. He said, you get out of this place. And the sparrow said, if you don't give me, I'll dry you. I'll completely dry you up. And ocean god simply laughed at her. He said, what, you dry me? No, your proposal is so foolish. And everybody was also saying the same thing. But the god was very, very much determined. The sparrow would go into the ocean, and sometime because of the waves, she would be pushed back. But still she would take one drop of water from the beak and come and throw it on the sand. So our endeavor to dry the anarthas is the endeavor of that sparrow. It is not possible. But if the endeavor is not exhibited, the help will not come. So when that sparrow did that endeavor, it is explained that it is a Puranic story. Narad Muni went to Vaikuntha planet. And he went and told Garuda, he said, Garuda, No, you don't know the news? He said, what is the news? Narad Muni knows all the news. He is the best reporter. So Narad Muni told, you don't know the news? He said, your sister, younger sister, you know, is being harassed by ocean god. He is drying, he has taken all her eggs and now she is up to drying the whole ocean. Why don't you go and help him? So, seeing the determination, Garuda said, okay, I will go. Now Garuda came down, he took the permission of his lord and he came down and he told his ocean god, he said, my dear ocean, please give her eggs back. And unfortunately ocean considered that Garuda is also like any other ordinary bird. He said, what eggs? He said, I don't care. And Garuda said, if you don't give, I'll dry up. Still he did not listen, she did not believe. So Garuda with one of his wings, he just gave a flip to the ocean. And one flip to the ocean, it is explained that just one wing flipping over the ocean, ocean went so much back, so many hundreds of kilometers. And that happened in the province of Gujarat. Somewhere the ocean, it appeared that it has gone deep inside. Why? Because Garuda with his wing, he just hit the ocean. And the ocean realized that with his one wing he can just make me go so far behind, he can actually swallow me. So immediately gave back his eggs. So this shows that there was a endeavor on the side of the sparrow, even though it was not possible. So this unearth of subtle discrimination is very important one. Because it is explained that when a living entity starts practicing devotional service, a neophyte devotee always takes the law of the letter, not the spirit. He takes the externals as the most important thing and he gives up the essence. Gopinath has spoken. Therefore, Vishwanath, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, there is a Bhavagrahi and a Bharagrahi. Bhavagrahi means what? He extracts the essence and he gives up the detail. But Kanishka is not like that. He takes the Bhara, the externals, and forgets the essence. And that is what Venukasa represents. All the fruits in Vrindavan, in the Talavan forest, is like the commentaries of the great acharyas. It is all like shastras. Just like the smartas made the shastras their monopoly. In the olden time there was no printing press. There would be hardly any copies. And all the copies were the domain of the brahmanas. Even in the Christian world, why the Protestant religion started? Because the Catholic priest, because the Bible would be with them, whenever people would come to them saying that, you know, we are in this problem and we have done this simple activity, what is the solution for this? They would open their Bible and they say, okay, this is the simple activity you have done. You have to pay this much of money and in this way you will be forgiven. And then, in this way, they will make so much of money, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, they will preach the religion, but they will not practice it. He gives the example. One time one person came to one Brahman, he said, my dear sir, by accident, one child has killed a cat. What prayaschitta I should do? And the Brahman opened his scripture. Okay, let me see what is the prayaschitta. He opened a huge book. He said, the prayaschitta is that he has to make a golden cat as the same weight of the cat and he has to give it to the Brahman. And the man said, my dear sir, that is your son only who has killed a cat. Huh? So immediately said, oh, let me see what it is says about the Brahmana. And the whole rule was changed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in this way they preach the scripture, but in their own life they do not practice. This is Venukasura. And Srila Prabhupada explains that one who does not know the essence of the Shastras, he may have got all the information of the Shastras, but he does not know the essence of the Shastra,
Whenever he teaches or preaches, his teaching and preaching is like the braying of the ass. Very strong. He may be giving lecture. He may be speaking, but because there is no essence, that is nothing like braying of the ass. Therefore, you know, one who does not understand the essence, or one who does not learn the art of learning the essence, he hovers on the externals. He cannot make any advancements in Krishna consciousness philosophy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this, that understanding the essence and not being captured by the detail is the sign of subtle discrimination. If the subtle discrimination is not there, then one will be cheated by the Shastras only. So therefore Dhenukasur, he was not himself tasting the scripture, the fruits, the Shastras. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam is also considered as Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam. What is it? It is a ripened fruit of the Vedic knowledge. And this ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge has become more sweeter by the touch of Sukadeva Goswami. Just like the mango on the tree is handed from one person to another person. Not that it is dropped from the tree. It is handed over. When it is handed over, what does it do? It maintains its wholeness, and then it can be tasted very nicely. But Dhenukasur like people, they will not allow others to taste the essence of the scriptures. They will allow the book to be rotten. They will not allow. If there is a person who can understand the essence, even if he is not born in a Brahman family, can be qualified to read and comment on the scriptures. So therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this anartha is one of the biggest anartha and has to be overcome by the devotees. Not become Bharagrahi Vaishnava. A Bharagrahi Vaishnava means one who thinks that simply by wearing this tilak, kantimala and the dress of a Vaishnava, he has become a Vaishnava. He said, and that is the sign of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the superficiality of religion will not be decreased. It is not that people will not visit the holy place. They will. Just like we see here, hundreds and thousands of people come to the holy place. In Kumbh Mela, 100 years back, not so many people would go. Every time there is a Kumbh Mela, there is an increase in number. Last time, if 3 crore people would have taken bath, next time 4 crore people will take bath. But they will not understand the essence why they are taking bath. So therefore the superficiality of religion will keep increasing, and that is the sign of the blunt discrimination. And how to understand the subtle discrimination, the refined discrimination, can only be understood by a devotee who is trying to work over it, who is trying to understand it. And that comes not simply by mugging up all the scriptures. And this is one of the biggest problems. One time I remember our Rohini Nandan Prabhu had got, you know, one of his friend, one big industrialist. And he came exactly at 1 o'clock in the temple. And just at that time when he was about to enter inside the temple, the curtains got closed. And the curtains were closed, and the president was saying, you know, this person has come, and he's a big man, and he's going to do some service, so why not let him take darshan? But the pujari said, no, no, we have to follow the rules. What is the rule? The rule is that 1 o'clock the curtains will be closed. We cannot change the rule just because some person has come. So the matter was taken to the higher authorities. But at that time, you know, because the curtains were not open and that person had to go back, he had no darshan. And then ultimately the matter was taken to the senior, the authorities. And he said, if I was there in his case, I would have opened the curtain. Why? Because one has to go beyond the letter of the law. One has to understand the spirit. It is not that just because somebody, it is not that devotees of the Lord are not in the mood of pampering, or is big, therefore, you know, he break the law. No, it's not like that. If somebody is big, he is big because of his pious activities. And to condemn him is what? It is not a sign of being a very prank sadhu, it is a sign of being envious. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, whenever from, even in his books, in his lectures, he would condemn political leaders very openly because of their hypocritical behavior. But when they would come to the temple, he would treat them as VIPs. Was it he was acting hypocritically? No. Because the devotee of the Lord, you know, he knows how to respect at what time. Because of his understanding the essence. Narad Muni, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, forget other devotees. He is glorifying Hiranyakashipu. In the seventh canto, any person reads, what is this? Narad Muni is glorifying Hiranyakashipu? That is how, seeing that he has a position, he has got that position because of his piety. Now he may be wrongly using that piety. But to see the position, to give attention to that position, is the sign of a proper devotee. So therefore, Bhavagrahi means he captures the essence. And he learns that art from Krishna himself. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained when Bali Maharaj when Vamandev came into the arena of Bali Maharaj, when Bali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice, Bali Maharaj wanted to offer obeisances. He wanted to bend down and offer complete obeisances. But he could not do. Why he could not do? Because he was surrounded by the demons. All of his associates were there. And if he had offered obeisances to a Vaishnava Brahman, and all of his demonic followers would have ridiculed him. But within his own mind he offered his obeisances. And at the end of the whole story, Bali Maharaj himself speaks about this. He says, my dear Lord, when you came inside my arena, I actually wanted to offer you obeisances. But I could not offer obeisances because of the surrounding. I only did that in the mind. And Prabhupada writes, Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. Bhavagrahi Janardana means what? He just extracts the essence of the devotee's heart, not the externals. Externals can be very deceptive. Sometimes people come take darshan. Yesterday, you know, we were in Vasudhara. It's a very difficult walk. And many were taking bath. And Prabhupada writes, to think that by taking bath in the holy water, I'll be purified, that is a wrong conception. What is spiritual, what is material depends upon one's attitude. Nalakuvar and Manigriv, when they were enjoying sense gratification, they were inside the Mandakini Ganga. Mandakini Ganga is much purer than the earthly Ganga. They were taking bath in the Mandakini Ganga, but still they were putrefied, not purified. So how is that the Ganga did not purify them? So Prabhupada writes there, what is spiritual and what is material is decided by the attitude. Of course Ganga is pure, but if your attitude is wrong, then you will not be purified. So therefore the devotee has to be careful, simply because I wear Kanti Mala, simply because I chant. The chanting of Hare Krishna, when done with right intention, will only give the results. Otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, very scary one. It causes fear in our heart. He says, if you chant Hare Krishna offensively, it may happen that you may become a ghost in your next life. Why? Because you are approaching Krishna in a wrong way. And the story is there, one time Bhaktivinoda Thakur was coming to one village to preach. And he came up to certain area and then he stopped his journey, thinking that if I walk again, you know, I'll reach in dead of the night. So outskirts of the village, he stayed there in an abandoned temple. And then he stayed there, and next morning, early morning, he started to walk. He came to the village. And in the villagers saw, they became very surprised. How is that you have come so early? Bhaktivinoda said, no, I just stayed outskirts of the village in the temple. And all the villagers said, but my dear Thakur, in that temple there is a ghost. Therefore the temple has been abandoned. And who has become ghost? The pujari himself has become a ghost. And they inquired from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, we have this query. He said, we have seen personally, you know, whenever we go there, you find screen, somebody is throwing pots, somebody is throwing something. You know, we have experienced it, therefore we have abandoned that temple. And they asked this question. But Thakur, how is this, that this person was worshipping the Lord? You have seen him regularly chant the names of God. How is that he has become a ghost? They asked this question to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it is not that chanting is important. It is important, but how you chant it is most important. So what was his character? Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked. And they told, his character was, you know, he would break all kinds of regulative principles. He was not living a pure life. He was harsh to people. He would not worship the deities properly. He was doing his duty on a mechanical level of chanting and worshipping the Lord. But he was not actually doing out of love. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, because he has chanted the Hare Krishna mantra offensively, therefore he has become a ghost. Then they said, then what is the solution? And Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, only if someone is a pure hearted person chants in the place where he has become a ghost, he'll be liberated. He'll be freed from the offenses. And it is explained when they went next day to that place, there was no more influence of the ghost. Why? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted his rounds in the early morning. So the point is, and therefore Prabhupada also mentioned, we discussed this, that if somebody chants 64 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra, Prabhupada called that as Karma Mimamsa. He said, that is not pure. He is thinking, by chanting this much rounds I will get this, by chanting this many rounds I will get that. He said, that is not bhakti, that is Karma Mimamsa. So then to understand this discrimination proper, it is very important. And if we fail to understand, we will not make advancement. And to make an endeavor to understand, it is very important to kill this Dhenukasura demon. Therefore Balaram represents spiritual master. There are some anarthas can only be overcome by the direct intervention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there are some anarthas where we have to endeavor, and the support will be given by the spiritual master. And this is one anartha, that is the not properly understanding what is the essence and what is the detail. Any system is made to understand the spirit. The system itself does not become the essence. The system itself does not become the essence. Just like whatever we do, Rupa Goswami has given 64 items of practicing devotional service. That involves chanting Hare Krishna mantra. That involves bowing down to the Lord. That involves singing in front of the Lord. That involves going around the temple. That also involves going in the parikrama with the Lord. What are these items? Is it that these items will give us bhakti? One time Ravindra Swarupu was mentioning, his items are the natural activities of advanced devotee. Advanced devotee naturally does it. He will chant Hare Krishna, he will go around the temple, he will follow the procession of the Lord's deities. So what Rupa Goswami has done, he has collected all these items and is given for the sadhakas. You know, these are the activities of the great devotees, and you also do like this. It is just like a son of a doctor imitating his father. He has an apron, he has a stethoscope, he goes around looking, you know, he does not even know where to put the stethoscope over, but he is imitating. But that imitation will give him a desire to also become like his father. So similarly, all of these activities independently will not simply, yes, even though we do not have anything else to do, we should do them. But independently they will not be so much powerful unless we develop the desire. And that is the difference between the externalities and the essence. So therefore, Lord Baladev helps us to wheel around all those anarthas in the form of Dhenukasura and throw it in the air, so that we can grab the essence of all the scripture. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would explain that whatever I have given to you and whatever has been not given to you is consciously decided factor. One time one devotee saw that devotees are doing elaborate yajna and different kind of puja, and this devotee remarked, it is very unfortunate that whatever Srila Prabhupada consciously left behind, devotees are trying to introduce. And the sign of an external devotee is that, what does he do? He takes shelter of this, all these elaborate things, which are not essence but they are details. He takes shelter of all the elaborate things which are not necessary in this age of Kali. What is necessary in this age of Kali? What is the most important thing? The most important thing is that chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Associating with devotees. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Worshipping the deity of the Lord. And then visiting the holy place in the association of loving devotees. When we do this, simply by doing these five activities, Rupa Goswami explains that even little performance of these five activities will give rise to Bhava Bhakti. And not doing these five activities and doing something else other than these five activities, what will happen? They are forgetting the essence and going to try to follow the details. Therefore, to understand the essence, it is important that anyone who has received the mercy of the principle of Krishna conscious philosophy, he has to also distribute it to others. Unfortunately, in the Vedic society, people lost the essence because they did not preach. Recently, one Goswami had come from Bengal. He has this golden deity of Lord Gauranga, which was worshipped by Narottam Das Thakur. And because he has given up the family business of preaching, he is from the family descendant of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Their whole life was preaching. But now because he has given up the preaching activities, he was telling me, he said, I feel if I was born in an ordinary family, I would have not been burdened so much. He said, it is a big burden that I have been born into this family. He's saying it was a big burden, and because he is not preaching, he is regretting for that. And his understanding of his own ancestral philosophy is diluted. So therefore the people who had the scriptures, who had the knowledge of the scriptures, they failed to give it to others. When they failed to give it to others, what happened? When the knowledge is not distributed, just like the fruit which is not distributed becomes rotten, similarly knowledge also becomes rotten. And because when the knowledge becomes rotten, simply because you have all the books, you have the information, but the essence is not known, either you become arrogant and proud, or else you accept anything as acceptable. You lose the power of discrimination. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in a very nice essay, to be a repository of knowledge is the enemy of progress. Very beautiful. To become a repository of knowledge is the enemy of progress. And if you don't distribute that knowledge, you know that you have it, but you cannot give the essence. And this is the anartha of Dhenukasur. So whatever you have, you give it to others. Whatever you have, you give it to others. When you do like that, you get it and you give it to others. You get it and you give it to others. By doing that, without you knowing the essential understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy becomes part of your life. And this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Kaviraj Goswami explains in the story of Govinda. And this shows what is Bharavahi and what is Saragrahi. The rule is that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking rest, he was tired and he was sleeping right outside the door so that Govinda could not go inside. And Govinda said, "My dear Lord," and the feet were inside, the Lord's feet were inside and the head was outside. He could only go massage by going inside. He said, "My dear Lord, I need to massage you. So you please move so that I can go inside." Lord Chaitanya said, "I am so tired, I cannot move. If you want to massage, you arrange the way you want to arrange." So what Govinda did was, he covered Lord Chaitanya's body with a cloth and he jumped over. And this is the biggest offense according to Smriti, that to jump over anybody's body, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If somebody is lying down, if somebody is sitting, even if you cross over his thighs, that is considered as an offense, because Paramatma is residing. And here the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is lying down and his servant is jumping over Lord Chaitanya. That is great apradh, that will take him to hell. He went inside, he massaged Lord Chaitanya for a long time. And Mahaprabhu got up. He said, "Govinda, you are still sitting here, why you are not going to take prasad?" And Lord Chaitanya told, Govinda said, "My dear Lord, how can I cross you?" And Mahaprabhu immediately said, "But you crossed. You crossed to massage me. You already broken that principle of crossing to come inside, so in that way you can also go outside." He did not speak. Govinda did not speak. Lord Chaitanya understood his heart. In his heart he said, "My dear Lord, for your service, all rules can be broken. But for my sense gratification, I cannot even dream." This is the understanding where to draw lines. For service of Lord Chaitanya, he said, "I don't care." That is Saragrahi. And for his own sense gratification, I cannot. And Kaviraj Goswami writes there. It's one of the most beautiful story. And the commentary is also very beautiful. And Kaviraj Goswami explains, all of this essential understanding can be only given to such a soul who has been specially empowered and given special mercy by the Lord Himself. And He was the object of that Lord Chaitanya's mercy, to understand what is the essence and what is the non-essence. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj also falls into that category. I think the sages asked, why did Parikshit give shelter to Kali? He had the power to chase Kali away from the kingdom, but why did he allow him? It is quite strange. Many times even devotees discuss this. You know, why he did not kill the Kali himself so that we could have not suffered the influence of Kali Yuga? So much of influence of Kali Yuga is there, just because Parikshit Maharaj allowed him. And again, this was again the power of Parikshit Maharaj's understanding the essence from the detail. He knew if the Kali Yuga is allowed, then what will happen? If the Kali Yuga flourishes, then even within that Kali Yuga, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unlimited compared to other Yugas. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj allowed, "You stay here, so that whatever devotional service we practice will have got greater strength than any other Yugas." Therefore, even the demigods want to take birth in this age of Kali, even though it's a horrible age. But because when we practice devotional service in this age of Kali, it is more pleasing to the Lord. And one devotee told story for this, very beautiful story. When the Mahabharata battle was going between Arjuna and Karna, that was the most important battle, it was the climax of Mahabharata. If Arjuna is defeated, Pandavas are finished. And Karna is defeated, the Kauravas are finished. That was the last hope for Duryodhana. And they are fighting, and in the fight, Krishna was there as the charioteer for Arjuna, and Shalya was there for the charioteer for Karna. And it is explained, whenever Arjuna would shoot the arrow at Karna, Karna's chariot would fly 100 feet away. And Karna would come back again to fight Arjuna. And when Karna would shoot arrows at Arjuna, sometime he would only make Arjuna's chariot go 1 feet away from the exact spot. And whenever Karna would do that, Krishna would exclaim, "Very good, very good." He would encourage Karna. And Arjuna was quite surprised. He said, I am making Karna's chariot go 100 feet away. It's almost flying away. And Karna is only doing my chariot go 1 foot away. What is this?" So ultimately he asked, as a disciple, he asked his friend, "Krishna, my dear Krishna, now what is this? I am doing 100 feet away and he is doing only 1 feet. Why are you praising him so much?" He said, "My dear Arjuna, who is sitting on your chariot?" "I am sitting." "Huh?" "And even though I am sitting, he is able to do 1 foot. He is putting it behind. Therefore, it is quite natural that it's a big task." So similarly, this devotee was saying, Kali Yuga is bombarded with so many anarthas. There is less spiritual substance. In the previous yugas, the environment was very favorable. The determination was very strong. So to keep the anarthas away from oneself was not a difficult task. Not so praiseworthy. But in Kali Yuga, even though the anarthas are so great, determination is less. And if one is able to push Kali Yuga a little bit away from it is being influenced to us, Krishna said, "Very good, very good." With this intention, Parikshit Maharaj allowed Kali Yuga to stay here, so that people who practice devotional service can give unlimited benefit. And this is how the great soul, saram saram, they only grasp the essence. And Parikshit Maharaj also what? He was Saranga book. That means he knew what to accept and what to reject. And therefore this Srimad Bhagavatam is there. All other scriptures, they only talk about don't do this, don't do that. If you do like this, this will happen. If you don't do like this, that will happen. But Srimad Bhagavatam, what does it teach? It doesn't say don't do this or don't do that. It just says love Krishna. It talks about serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to serve Krishna, if you have to break the laws, if you have to break the regulations, it doesn't matter. You grasp the essence, serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, love Him, and in loving Krishna, if there are certain difficulties on the material platform, that is a detail. That will not be taken as seriously by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, to understand this principle and to kill Renukasura demon, we regularly need the guidance of a Garuda like a devotee in the form of the spiritual master, who can always guide us what is the essence and what is the detail. Just like one time Prabhupada was asked by devotees, "Prabhupada, what to know, how to know what is accidental fall down and what is regular fall down?" Prabhupada said, "You cannot know that. I can only know." He said, "You cannot make that judgment because you do not have that understanding. Only I can do it. What is accidental and what is regular fall down is not understood by the ordinary people. Only I can do it." That means when we have to make a decision, this is right or this is wrong, we need a guidance. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, one has to endeavor and the help will come in the form of the spiritual master, so that we can easily overcome the demon of blunt discrimination in the form of ass demon Renukasura. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes, Giridharji. Again, it depends upon different people come with different intentions. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explained there are Artho, Artharthi, Jigya, Su and Jnani. And those who from very beginning have the tendency to look for God, to serve God, for them to become Bhavagrahi is not at all difficult. But for most of us, we have come to Krishna consciousness because, you know, some unknown reasons, therefore this story, how I came to Krishna consciousness, is more amusing. But because you find that, you know, sometime they had no intention of ever becoming a devotee. But somehow they bumped in some devotees, they have become devotees. So therefore, the disposition itself will make them work harder to understand what is bhava. Just like, you know, Radhananda Maharaj was showing his old letters. And even before meeting devotees, there was a desire to search for God. And to look for God, there was all endeavor. And people like that will have easy way to understand what is the essence. And people have come, you know, some devotees have come to, I know one person, his friend got him to the temple saying that, you know, you come there, you will find nice girls there. That's how he has come to. He has become a devotee now. He has become a very sincere devotee. He had no understanding, you know, what is devotional service. And I can share my experience, how I became a devotee. I am joining the temple. It was nothing but to hurt my parents, rebellion. No, I was just, I had never read any book before I came to temple. I only knew, oh, this is nice. Nice young boys are there, they dance nicely, they play nice instruments. So I told, I want to go to the temple, Bombay, for one day you allow me. My parents said, no way. He said, if you don't allow, I'll never come back. I'll run away from here. As a rebellion, I become a devotee. Not as inquisitiveness or there was a desire to dedicate life. And there was a challenge. You know, okay, if you go, you know that you will come back within few days. You want food cooked by your mother and all this stuff. And then again, because of faults you go. Even though there were so many troubles when I joined, because it was a defeat. If I go home, they'll say, just see, you'll come back. Many devotees, one more boy was saying, his father threatened him, he said, all the time if you are going, you know, take this saffron cloth and stay there only. So before that he has not decided to join full time. Not decided to become very serious. So that seriousness is caused not because of one's own desire, but because different circumstances. So naturally for many of us to understand the essence will be difficult. But for those who have that inquisitiveness, you know, many of our young children, they say, we have no choice, we have not given the choice only to practice. We are forced to practice. The parents have come by their own choice, knowing that, okay, this is the only best thing to do in the life. So they expect us also to do the same thing without giving us the choice to know about it. So therefore we see this is a big trouble for them. They may be doing it, they know it. They know it is good because our parents are doing. But because it is not their own choice, you know, most of them are very lax. To chant 16 rounds is a big mountain task. They can climb Vasudhara within 3 hours, but to chant 16 rounds sometimes it takes 8 hours for them. Huh? Why? Because it is not done out of their own choice. And sometimes they have to take holidays. drum chanting, 16 drums or whatever round they are chanting. Why? Because it is not of their own choice. So therefore, it is a big challenge. What is my background? How I come to Krishna consciousness? Based upon that, to understand the difference between what is Bhara and what is Sara will be difficult. But if we put our endeavor to understand the Shastras properly, hear from the advanced devotees regularly, and our endeavor, our efforts, even though our background may be bad, will help us to understand the difference. Otherwise, it is quite natural that this will happen, depending upon our background. Yes, Mr. Yekantra. Therefore, Srila Jayadrit Maharaj, ISKCON devotees amazingly did this folio. Folio is that whatever Prabhupada has spoken, his lectures, his letters, his books, all of these things are there in one file. And there are hits. If you go and hit Ganesh, and whatever Prabhupada has spoken about Ganesh will come. And Jayadrit Maharaj, in the introduction of folio, if anyone has the folio, if it's just operative folio without reading this introduction, there is all chances that we will misuse that. Why? Because this folio can go only to certain subject. You want to know what Prabhupada said about Ganesh. Then everything will come whatever Prabhupada said about Ganesh. And over that and below that what Prabhupada said, that will not be coming. You will only hit Ganesh. Uske pehle, what Prabhupada has spoken. After that what he has spoken, we will not read it. So Jayadrit Maharaj says, there is all the chances of misusing this huge tool. It can be abused, misused, exploited. So therefore, he gives this example of Ganesh. When devotees read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and in the beginning of our devotional service, we should worship Ganesh. And on devotee wrote back to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can we install Ganesh's jiti in the temple? Can we start worshipping? And then Prabhupada gave the real understanding. He said, there is no need. There is no, this is a specific instruction given by Prabhupada. He said, there is no need to worship. And if you are bent upon worshipping Ganesh, then every day you send $1 million to me in my bank account. Then you can worship Ganesh. And that was the end of Ganesh worship in ISKCON. Huh? But he didn't say that we should not respect Ganesh. So there will be many such things in Prabhupada's books. But if you only concentrate on that, just like in so many places Prabhupada speaks about grasp the life. There are both as given, but if somebody wants to only know Prabhupada containing Grahastha life, you can collect the full data. Or you can collect the data of how Grahastha life is nice and preach to people. You see, how many places Prabhupada say how Grahastha life is nice or bad. And a non-intelligent person will be influenced by repeated saying of particular sections of the scripture, and that he will consider to be the truth. But everything has to be seen from complete perspective. So it is there in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But again, Rupa Goswami himself makes it very clear. But amongst all these 64 items, these are the five most important. And according to one devotee's calculation, he said in devotees, in ISKCON, almost 54 items we practice without even knowing about it. You are not even doing an endeavor, but still you are practicing almost 50 to 54 items, especially, you know, those who are performing deity worship.